closer and closer to a technocratic nightmare. If it was really up to the WHO, that would become a reality. Welcome everybody to the Storm Is Here podcast. And when I mention the word WHO, I'm actually referring to an acronym, which stands for the World Health Organization. And that's what I'll be getting into tonight. There has been recent news and rumblings on social media about the upcoming treaty that is currently in process and probably has ended today. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into a few news articles about it. And let's get into the first one, which is out of the Cairns News. It's a North Queensland, Australian publication, and it's written by Alexandria Bruce. The title is WHO IHR Treaty Will Override Constitutions of Australia and America. Again, this article is going to expose what their goal is, what draconian laws that they want to implement, okay? So let's start the article. The interaction between Queensland Senator Gerard Rennick and a local health minister reveals that the reason why the Australian government, like the Canadian government, isn't letting unvaccinated people fly on commercial airlines has nothing to do with health policy, but with the fact that these countries, like the US and all other UN members, are signatory to the International Health Regulations Accord of 2005, or IHR. Now, again, you've been hearing that word a lot, IHR, and we're going to get more into detail about it, okay? So most people like me had never heard of the IHR, including myself, and these regulations override and supersede the U.S. Constitution. While everyone is looking at Ukraine, the WHO is planning a power grab to give it legal powers over the pandemic response in 190 countries. James Roguski has put together this amazing resource on his Substack, informing us about what's happening and a call to action and what we can do, parts of which I am sharing below. On January 12, 2022, the United States submitted a number of amendments to the IHR that will give away even more of our sovereignty and greatly empower the World Health Organization to restrict your health-related rights and freedoms. Now, I want to touch on the sovereignty thing here for a second, because a lot of people are under the impression that their countries are sovereign. Now, I think the word itself has been taken out of context, because in a real democracy, the people are sovereign, okay? But we're not getting that here in Canada. It's the oligarchs, the politicians. They're the ones really in charge of the country, and they're more sovereign than the people are. Okay, so we really don't have sovereignty. I just want to point that out. But again, under the World Health Organization, believe it or not, it could get a lot worse than it is now. All right, so the 75th meeting of the World Health Assembly will be held in Geneva, Switzerland, this May 22nd to the 28th, which is today, by the way. The Assembly will vote on the amendments to the IHR that are very likely to pass and be enacted into international law unless we the people stand up against the attack on our sovereignty. These amendments to the international health regulations do not need to be approved by two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. We have already agreed to obey the IHR by virtue of our membership in the United Nations and the World Health Organization. We have already given away some of our sovereignty, and these amendments will give away even more. In addition to the proposed amendments to the IHR, the WHO has also set up an intergovernmental negotiating body that is actively negotiating an international treaty on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. The proposed pandemic treaty is separate from, in addition to, the proposed amendments to the international health regulations, as I just mentioned. Now, while everyone is looking at Ukraine, the WHO is planning a power grab to give it legal powers over the pandemic response for 190 countries. So, again, the picture that this publication is trying to paint is that the pandemic, you know, the shutdown of the entire world economy was basically done on purpose so that they can get to this point where they can try to implement a one world government. And they're going to try to do that through the WHO. All right, here's some of the proposed amendments that they want to bring or change for the IHR. Increase surveillance. If we don't have that already, probably get even more worse. A one health approach. A direct attack on sovereignty via outside data. The WHO may unilaterally decide. Enable healthcare workers to be brought in. So this is really dangerous. So nurses that are striking will now be faced with competition. And saying, well, probably not even competition, that the WHO will be able to bring in their own nursing staff to basically cross picket lines. So again, not only are our rights and freedoms at stake here, but our collective agreements that we worked so hard to establish, well, they might be going down the wayside. So unions, as we know it, could be destroyed or be eliminated altogether. The deliberations of the emergency committee are shared with states, but not necessarily with the public. Nothing new there. The compliance committee will have investigative powers within each country, another loss of sovereignty. Amendments come into effect more quickly in 6 months instead of 18. So again, they could just blast new amendments in without approval from anyone. Change the definition of a pandemic again in order to declare unjustified pandemics. The WHO could declare almost anything to be a pandemic. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, mental illness, etc. Impose lockdowns worldwide centrally from the UN. Now, let me talk about this for a second here, because, again, what this publication is painting, they're painting a proper picture as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion. Now, we know that prior to the shutdown, prior to the virus, the world was on fire. Okay, the world was on the verge of revolution, and we've seen that with the French with the yellow vests in Chile, and Belarus and Central America, Africa, a lot of countries, Lebanon, a lot of countries were on the verge, and then of course 2020 came rolling around. The virus came rolling around, and then they imposed this worldwide lockdown, which forced a lot of these protesters into hiding. Now, is that a coincidence or not? I would think, in my opinion, I think not. And again, if there are any further uprisings or possible revolutions, well, the WHO could possibly have the power to shut them down. So again, more attacks to our right to assembly and free speech. Enforce expensive, unsafe, and ineffective treatments against the will of the individual people of the world, which they already have done now with the forced vaccine mandates. Implement universal vaccination mandates and digital vaccine passports. Again, digital vaccine passports or digital ID passports is something that a lot of people, including myself, are fearing. Okay, again, if they implement this, then they can track your every single movement. Every second of the day will be tracked. They will know what you're doing. And again, this is more loss of your freedoms and rights. Develop norms and standards for digital technology related to the international travel for international contact tracing. Develop surveillance systems that would link into each country's national health system. Give incentives for countries to report new viruses or variants, keeping up the ongoing fear. And again, this is so true because, you know, the coronavirus has pretty much died out. And mainstream is not really pushing that narrative anymore. But now, here comes a new virus, which is called the monkeypox, and now mainstream is all over it, and the fear-mongering campaign starts again. So again, there's a lot of people that are strong-minded. They're not followers, they're leaders, but unfortunately, there's a lot of brainwashed people or people that are living in fear that could be easily manipulated by this fear-mongering campaign. Promote untested medicines. Okay, I think I read that already. Mandate the sharing of data and genome sequences of emerging viruses. Institute guidelines on how each member country would pay fees to the World Health Organization in addition to the annual membership fees each member country is already paying. So they sound like extortionists. I mean, again, it sounds like one big mafia. Okay. And I know right now it's a corporate world. There's a lot of corporations that are ruling the world, but I think pretty soon there's only going to be one corporation, and I mean it could possibly be the World Health Organization, and I'm not sure what they're going to call it, but it will be a one world corporate government, which is really scary. Okay, again, I'm not here to scare you, I'm just here to inform you. Perhaps you're not aware of this, and I wanted to share some light on it, but more importantly, sure, we can talk about this, but actions are going to be needed more than words. Okay. All right. Let me read the next article here for you. This is out of Vox, and it was written by Julia Belous. Now, this article is going to expose what the World Health Organization is really all about. Okay. It's not about healthcare. It's not about your health. Okay. Obviously, it's about power. It's about control. It's about money. So the title is: the World Health Organization broke its own rules to spend millions on BCG consultants. The world's leading health organization, the WHO, reportedly broke its own rules and spent millions of dollars on high-priced management consultants, according to a new independent audit, even as the United Nations agency has struggled to pay for life-saving equipment and vaccines in its global COVID-19 response. An unnamed consulting company, which Vox has identified as BCG, charged the World Health Organization $11.72 million since the start of the pandemic for contracts that were dubiously awarded, according to the audit. These revelations, which one expert called disturbing, in an interview with Vox, came after a Vox investigation showed how management consulting firms such as BCG and McKinsey have become ubiquitous in global public health organizations, despite the concerns of many health practitioners about multi-million dollar price tags, potential conflicts of interest, and the opaque nature of consulting work. WHO researchers told Vox that the auditor report raised questions about the agency's ability to responsibly and transparently spend public money from the 194 member countries that fund it. So again, your hard tax paying dollars goes to this corrupt mafia. And again, this article is doing a great job of exposing them. In recent months, the WHO has requested donations from its members and the general public, citing a funding gap of more than $1 billion for its pandemic response. Given that the WHO's 2020-2021 budget is $5.84 billion, $12 million may not sound like a massive amount, but $12 million for a healthcare system in a low-income country can compromise a significant portion of their funding. That income, a global health chair at the School of Adam Scott, the incoming global health chair at the School of Transnational Governance in Florence, who studies the WHO, that amount could pay for about 600,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses, which the WHO is part of COVAX, whose aim is to ensure all countries have equitable access to vaccines. If it's money being wasted, that's a lot of vaccines that could have been purchased, Cameron Scott added. The audit, which examines a sample of the WHO's biggest contracts, now get this, guys, analyzed the agency's work with BCG, known as Consulting Firm A, In the report, it uncovered multiple violations of WHO policies. The auditors claim WHO staff sought to circumvent the organization's public procurement rules in order to help BCG win a contract. Staff at the agency also broke WHO rules by repeatedly starting work with the firm before seeking formal approval to do so, according to the report. So again, this is just another corrupt organization, just like our political system here in Canada and all over the world. It's all about the money. So they even circumvent their own rules so that they can accommodate and get their palms greased. And at the end of the day, everybody's happy. But again, this is not about healthcare. It's obviously not. We continue on here. Before the pandemic, Vox revealed the WHO committed at least $12 million on consultants to support the agency's reform, approximately a quarter of which has been paid for by, directly, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, another controversial figure, for good reason. At the time, a WHO spokesperson said the agency welcomed consultants' work. The consulting companies have supported WHO in areas where we lack in-house expertise or want to tap the current best-in-class standards. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article here, but I did read all of it, and it did mention other consulting firms who were more qualified than BCG and were charging a lot less, but obviously weren't going to grease anybody's hands, so they were basically kicked out of the bid. Now, let's go back to the Bill and Gates, or the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and what they contributed to the World Health Organization. Well, according to this Spears WMS.com site, the World Health Organization received $682 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And somehow they're lacking in money. So it's really disgusting and sickening that this corrupt mafia now wants to impose more draconian laws, and they want to make more amendments to, again, supersede constitutions, take over countries, and basically turn you into absolute slaves. This is where it's heading. And again, folks, I mean, yeah, we could sit here and we could talk about it like I do. But, and again, it's good to get the news out there to make people aware of what's happening. But at the end of the day, it's going to take a physical response than a more oral response. I mean, the word of mouth thing is great, but at the end of the day, it's only going to get us halfway. Okay, so I think people now are aware of what's going on. Still, a lot of people are living in fear, and a lot of people are brainwashed, but there's still enough people out there to really make some noise. Okay, and it's going to take more of a physical, if anything else, or else we're basically just spinning our wheels. So anyways, guys, that's it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please, guys, if you guys can, share this video across three of our platforms, which, by the way, they are Anchor, which is our podcast platform. We also could be found on YouTube under The Storm Is Here. Please like, please share. And our last platform is Rumble. So with that said, guys, I bid you all a good night and keep fighting.